Imagine Depression-era Alabama.
The Great Depression now is spreading.
A young man named Carl Elliott, valedictorian of his high school, was considering his options as the oldest of nine children on a poor tenant farm in the northwest part of the state.
And there wasn't much of a prayer that he could ever get a college education, but he was determined.
Elliott died in 1999, so that's Mary Jolly, who worked closely with him for many years.
He started out walking down the railroad to walk 100 miles to get to the University of Alabama. He had $2.38 in his pocket.
He made it to the university. He became a lawyer and eventually was elected to Congress in 1948. This is where Jolly, then in her early 20s, joined his staff.
He went to Congress with the purpose of creating a scholarship for students in higher education. That was his motivation.
After the war, with baby boomers overwhelming local schools, many people wanted the federal government to step into education. Back then, the feds weren't very involved in it, instructionally or financially, and the education bills Elliott kept introducing stagnated. Resistance came from lawmakers who didn't want the government to have a say in religious issues, like prayer in school. The other big concern was race.
And always it got hung up on that. But the issue for the Southerners was the issue of race and the integration of schools.
If the feds gave money to states for education, they could require Southern schools to integrate. Elliott didn't support that either, by the way. But then something big happened.
Moscow newspapers were first. Then headlines around the world echoed the news. Russia had blasted a man-made moon into outer space.
In October 1957, the Soviet Union launched Sputnik, the world's first artificial satellite.
Most important of all were its beep, beep, beep signals. Recorded on tape, they unlocked secrets of space.
It caught the American public completely off guard. Sputnik, circling the globe, seemed a constant twinkling reminder that Americans were falling behind in science, destined to lose the space race. Here's President Eisenhower talking about the U.S.'s inferior science education and low number of science professionals.
This trend is disturbing. Indeed, according to my scientific advisors, this is for the American people the most critical problem of all. My scientific advisors place this problem above all other immediate tasks of producing missiles, of developing new techniques in the armed services. We need scientists.
Some historians say this was just rhetoric, that Eisenhower knew the U.S.'s defense capabilities, and they were plenty advanced. But Elliott and his co-conspirators didn't waste the opportunity. Mary Jolly was with him when they learned about the launch.
Actually, we were not in the office when it happened. I think we were in South Dakota, as I recall. We were holding hearings about education legislation. And at that point, Mr. Elliott called and said, "Look, we better get back home quickly." He said, "This is our chance to do something."
Elliott and several other lawmakers realized people's fear of the Soviets was far greater than fear of their own government sticking its nose in education.
The Soviets have an atom smasher twice the size of the largest U.S. machine. Red scientists are well paid and given great freedom to communicate with each other and their colleagues abroad. All part of the Kremlin's newest weapon, science.
So they sat down and drafted the National Defense Education Act, NDEA for short. It passed less than a year after Sputnik's launch. The NDEA focused on science education specifically, and that was fine with Elliott, as long as students got money towards education. His biggest compromise was to write in loans rather than scholarships. Some lawmakers thought scholarships were too socialist.
The sun goes down and leaves me sad and blue. The Iron Curtain falls on this cold war with you.
The bill provided money for science labs in K-12 schools, loans for higher education, and training for guidance counselors to identify gifted students for science tracks. That same year, NASA was born, and money went to the National Science Foundation for research and to train science teachers. Shirley Malcolm was a middle schooler in a segregated black school in Birmingham at the time.
One of the things that was really immediate that we saw in the change was that we had real science being taught.
Empty school laboratories received supplies. Teachers seemed better equipped to tackle science subjects.
There was a greater attention to science and mathematics everywhere. Nationally, of course, but even in my little school, we all built our own rockets and started asking questions about being able to escape the gravitational pull of the Earth and things like this.
Malcolm went on to get a PhD in ecology and now works for the American Association for the Advancement of Science. She says two major things affected her youth: the struggle for civil rights and Sputnik.
I doubt very seriously that I would have ended up in science had it not been for Sputnik and had it not been for the national attention that something like an NDEA represented.
Congressman Carl Elliott, of course, saw his legacy in the millions of students that had the opportunity to study. The bigger legacy, though, is the federal government's deep, intricate, and some still say outsized role in education and science in the U.S.
Well, I say the little old thing called a Sputnik, yeah, Sputnik, 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 Sputn